Hello everybody, and welcome back to Forge G20's campaign Thrones. I'm your DM Hunter, accompanied by my best friend Zach once again, and we are very excited to once again share with you the experience that is this campaign and this story. When we last left off, Daedalus and Alistair had made their way to the Dwarven excavation to rescue an ally of one Nibin Botfizzle, someone named Cornelius, who had come to this excavation site to do some exploring, some spelunking, maybe find some treasures, bring that back to Nibin, and share the wealth with him. Unfortunately, Cornelius never returned. Due to this, after about a fortnight's missing in action, Nibin reached out to Alistair and Daedalus. They came to an accord that he would reward them if they went to the excavation and investigated what happened to his ally and brought him back if possible. Alistair and Daedalus made their way there and have now found Cornelius, or what they suspect to be Cornelius, but in the end, they decide to go further into the excavation after a brief run-in with some orcs that happened to be also investigating these ruins. At the crux, or the precipice of this temple, they found a large offering, a tribute to this evil dwarven god of greed. Alistair decided to partake in this offering, take a little bit for himself. Maybe fill the coffers back at a old Darkvale Manor when he returns home. And a price was paid. A basilisk that had been perhaps slumbering or awaiting a sign of life came shooting out of the ground beneath Alistair and Daedalus. Daedalus, with quick reaction, was able to avoid most of the damage. Alistair took the brunt of the impact, being launched across the room. A fight ensued, which ended with Alistair being petrified by the basilisk vision. Daedalus, after being left alone in this temple with a basilisk before him, Daedalus sprung into action, grappled with the creature, and was able to dislocate the creature's jaw with his bare hands after a very, very tough, I guess, dogfight, a wrestle match between him and this basilisk. Many rolls were had, but eventually Daedalus ended up doing enough damage that the basilisk decided, I've had enough of this. This prey's a little bit too much for me, a little too feisty. I'm gonna skedaddle out of here. After the basilisk retreated back underground, Daedalus quickly realized what had happened, that Alistair had been petrified, and what they suspect to be Cornelius, a small, fuzzy little statue, is also petrified by this basilisk at some point. Daedalus is grabbing both of them and is now currently leaving the excavation, trying to make his way back to Vendalin. And that is where we will pick up. So, Daedalus now sees before him the now ruined collapse of this temple. The canyon walls that the temple was built into began to shake, and they began to thunder as the stone cliffside began crumbling down, making entrance, or re-entrance rather, back into the temple impossible without major mining equipment. Daedalus, Alistair, and Cornelius are very lucky to get out with their lives. Well, Daedalus in particular, because he's not turned to stone in the moment. Daedalus gets to his feet and brushes himself off for a moment before looking at his close ally and who he was charged with finding, Cornelius. Daedalus takes one look at Cornelius. He makes a comment to himself. All of this to find you. It better be worth it. Daedalus picks up the small statue of the fuzzy-looking creature. He then looks at Alistair. How in the hells am I going to get him back to Phandalin? I could carry him as well, but... Daedalus looks at Alistair. He takes a moment and pulls his rucksack over his shoulder and peeks inside, and he spots something that he remembered he had in his explorer's pack. 20 feet of rope. Daedalus begins tying the rope around Alistair's now petrified body. Alistair, you're still conscious in this statued state. You can see what Daedalus is doing. You can hear him, but you cannot move, you cannot scream, cannot speak. It is true terror. You are left to Daedalus' mercy and for him to help you. Daedalus, you see him tying this rope around your waist. You clearly can tell he plans on dragging you. If he can't carry you, he will drag you. Daedalus, as he's tying you up, you hear him sort of speaking to you.
Well, Alistair, if you're in there, I apologize, but I don't have a wagon. And although you are a small half-elf, and rather emaciated-looking one, I don't feel like carrying you for the next, 9-10 hour walk back to the village. So I'm going to drag you.
And then Daedalus makes an observation. You see him kind of look up to the sky, raise an eyebrow.
Or should I carry him? If I'm dragging him and maybe the arm snaps off the statue, he would lose his arm.
Daedalus looks down at the statue.
Don't worry, Alistair, that's not going to happen. I hope you're not awake. You're not awake.
Daedalus then reaches down and he decides to sort of stand up Alistair's statue from its sort of rested position. He decides he's going to carry Alistair as far as he can, and then he's going to drag him, at least far enough away from the canyons and sort of rough grounds in these areas. Daedalus begins his journey back to the village, and it takes quite a while. Daedalus treks back from the dwarven excavation back to the town of Findown. Eventually, he travels probably for about 8-9 hours before he starts to see the crest of Umbridge Hill and the windmill. Finally, he eventually sees the town after crossing over the hill itself in another 2-3 hours. After seeing the town proper, at this point, he's actually now dragging Alistair. You can see a sort of rut in the grassy fields behind him from where Alistair's being sort of plowed through everything, being pulled by this sort of workhorse that is Daedalus, holding Cornelius like a football and pulling this rope behind him that has the statued body of Alistair, sort of frozen in this state of, oh shit, and he's got his hands out in defense. Daedalus eventually makes his way to the town. To the left and the right, the village folk gasp here and there. A few of them have raised eyebrows. Some open their windows and kind of look out the shutters to see what they're seeing, if it's really true. And they see the golden dragonborn kind of carrying a statue in one arm, and he's dragging another along. A few people whisper, make comments. Daedalus is kind of like trying to make his way through the town.
Yes, yes. Have you not ever seen anything petrified before? It's a statue. Yes, move, move, move.
He's trying to make his way to Nibbin Bot Fizzle's emporium. He makes his way there to Bot Fizzle's. He opens the curtain door and is assaulted once again by the aroma of this place, the heavy lavender smell. And you can hear the humming of one Nibbin Bot Fizzle inside Alistair. You hear, and then a voice of recognition.
Oh, Daedalus, welcome back.
A clap of the hands again.
Uncelio?
And then the pillow once again twirls in front of him. Nibbin hops on and begins to float towards Daedalus.
Ah, I see you found them, my friend. You found Cornelius.
This is very good.
He will be a little perplexed, a little miffed, I must say. Where's Alistair?
And then you see Daedalus start pulling at the rope, pulling it inside, and you hear the grinding of the sun on the ground being pulled in. It's this long, dramatic pause as it comes to a stop right next to him. Daedalus looks at Nibbin.
Well, my floors are ruined. Thank you for that. You could have just said he was petrified as well.
This is your fault.
What the hell do you mean this is my fault?
You see Nibbin flaunts his hands out in front of them, pointing at the two of them.
What do you mean? How could this be my fault? I didn't petrify them.
You said that there wouldn't be anything dangerous here.
I also said that I had not investigated these ruins, that Cornelius was the one that had gone. I did not know this had happened to him.
You said that you knew more than you let on when we left. Maybe you knew about this basilisk.
What are you saying here? That I wanted my friend to go in there and get petrified, and I sent the two of you to get petrified as well? And what would that gain me?
Daedalus looks at him.
You have about 5 minutes to fix him.
And he points at Alistair and he kind of pokes the statue.
If not, this place is going to go up in flames. Do you understand, Bot Fizzle?
You see Nibbin's eyes get real wide.
Are you threatening me, Golden One?
And he squints at Daedalus. Daedalus looks back and squints back at him.
No, I'm not threatening you, Nibin Botfizzle. I'm telling you what will happen in 5 minutes if you do not fix Alistair.
You see a bit of smoke come from the nostrils of Daedalus. You see Nibin thinks for a moment. He looks to his left, looks to his right. He puts his hands out, raises them up very slowly, and puts them out in front of him.
All right, Daedalus, all right. I plan on petrifying them anyways. There's no need to do anything hasty here. No need for me to have to call the guards. I'll go get that basilisk oil right away.
Basilisk oil.
Daedalus stands back up from his sort of crouched position where he got sort of nose to nose with Nibin. He looks at Alistair.
See, Alistair, nothing to worry about. You're fine. He's going to unpetrify you at any minute now.
About 20 minutes goes by. Daedalus is fuming. And Nibin finally comes out.
Oh, good. I was worried that you would actually begin to burn the place down in my absence. It takes a while to find a lot of potions and oils in this place. I mean, look at the walls.
And you see hundreds of potions and oils lining the place, and they go all the way into the back room, the storage areas. Finally, though, you see this dusty-looking elixir bottle. He looks at Daedalus.
This is basilisk oil. You see this sort of blue film in here? That's the blood of the basilisk. Speaking of the basilisk, what happened to the one in there?
It was dealt with. It's still alive, but it was dealt with. We got out alive, that's what matters. Now fix him!
Oh, yes, right away, right away, right away, Daedalus. Fucking asshole.
And Daedalus pays it no mind, he lets the attention go, the insult go to the wayside. He stands there with his arms crossed, watching very closely as Nibin raises himself via the floating pillow. He sits crisscross. He uncorks the bottle, plink. And you see he takes a little bit of this blue elixir, he swirls it around in his fingers, and he drops just a little bit right on the tippy-top of Alistair's head. And Alistair, you begin to feel the stone turn to dust from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Very slowly, it begins sort of like cracking, chipping, and then turning to this sort of dirt material that begins to just kind of fade off of you in the breeze and the wind that is in the natural sort of air conditioning of this environment. And you are now unpetrified.
As Alistair comes to, he's not like screaming, there's no sense of urgency. A long time ago, well, not too long, he accepted the fact halfway through this trek back to town that he's gonna have to be drugged through dirt no matter the cost. And you just see a look of, like, he went through the 5 stages of grief of being drug, God knows how long, back to Phandalin, and he's in the acceptance stage. He looks at Daedalus.
Well, thanks for saving my life. Daedalus, you really are willing to do anything to get the job done. I respect that. I will say, I probably would have fought you on our way back to town if, you know, I wasn't petrified, so I definitely would not have taken kindly to be drugged through the dirt. Sorry, I'm just going off on a tangent. And he's kind of like scratching at his, right under his eye, the one that's covered by the eye patch. And he looks to Nibin and begins to speak to Nibin. Hey, Nibin, good to see you again. I'm sorry for the forceful nature of my comrade here. He's, at least from the brief time I've journeyed with him, I can tell that he's the willing to do anything it takes to get it done type of guy, and I respect that. So don't take it too harsh.
Nibin looks at you, he looks down, he looks at you, he smiles and nods, but then he looks down towards your feet.
Oh god, one of your feet chipped off!
And he points down.
Alistair looks down.
Your foot's still there. But you, immediate shock, though, at the thought of it.
He just, and he looks. Oh, why did you say that?
Nibin laughs.
Oh, Alistair, you fell for one of the classic blunders. I always do that when I unpetrify people. Not that it happens all the time, but I've had a few in my day. But I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad that you were merely petrified. Say, did the two of you, find anything other than Cornelius, perhaps before we wake him up, like gold that you'd like to share with me, perhaps?
Nibbin laughs a little bit awkwardly, and then you see Daedalus squints.
We're not sharing anything with you here.
And then he just kind of shoves the statue of Cornelius from his arm, where he's got him, like, kind of tucked away like a football, and he just shoves it onto the pillow with Nibbin. Nibbin almost falls up, and he grabs onto the statue.
Daedalus, Jesus! Calm down, my scaled fellow. I meant no offense. I wanted to know maybe if you found anything in the temple. Now, let me fix Cornelius for a moment.
Daedalus kind of looks at you, and you see his, like, you can tell he's about done with Nibbin. He's, like, very close to snapping. You can, like, see the smoke coming out of his ears almost, well, ears, quote unquote. Do Dragonborn have ears? I don't. Daedalus has. There's like ear holes, I guess. There's like ear, like hearing receptacles, is what I will call them. Hearing receptacles. But Nibbin then does the same thing to Cornelius. You see the statue begin to turn to dust, and then the person beneath the statue revealed. You see this fuzzy red fur, and you got a little bit of white fur around the face, around the mouth, and a black little nose and beady brown eyes, and he's got little overalls on, and he's got sort of like a long dress shirt on underneath that, not dress shirt, but like explorer's like sort of shirt like Indiana Jones would have on, right, that button up, and he's, you see the little fuzzy fellow.
Oh, I'm alive, oh, I'm alive, oh, oh. Nibbin, oh, it's you, Nibbin. Oh, thank the gods. Where's the basilisk?
He looks around. Daedalus stands there, looks at you, and you can see his eyes are kind of wide, like, are you seeing this shit? Like, what the hell? Nibbin looks,
it's fine, my good fellow Cornelius. It's fine, it's fine.
Cornelius looks at him.
It's not. It's not at all. I was stuck there for 2 weeks, unable to scream or move. Do you know what that's like, Nibbin?
Nibbin kind of shrugs his shoulders.
Not really, no. You're alive. They saved you.
And you see Cornelius turns and looks at us and his eyes get wide.
Oh, yes. Oh, the two of you. You found me in that temple, thank God. You said I heard your name, Daedalus and Alistair. Yes, I'm Cornelius Mesosqueeps. Forgive me for my current shaky state.
And you see him, like, literally fucking trembling at this point because he's so traumatized by being stuck for 2 weeks, unable to move, scream. The claustrophobic nightmare that is... I have no mouth, but I must scream in a way. Cornelius looks at the two of us and kind of sizes up Daedalus and sizes you up, Alistair.
You two seem quite capable. Thank you. Keep whatever you found. I don't want it. My life is all that matters. Nibbin, I'd like to go lay down now.
Nibbin looks at him.
Oh, yeah, yes. Unsitting, huh?
And then the cushion takes the two of them away back to the counter, and you see Cornelius just kind of hops off the cushion and hops down behind the counter and disappears. Nibbin then claps his hands again.
Unsitting, huh?
And then back to the two of us.
Forgive me. Cornelius is, a bit of a mess right now, to be honest with you. Kind of, you know, to be expected when you're petrified for 2 weeks. And you were only petrified for, you know, 8 or 9 hours. I bet that was... nightmare fuel, huh?
Alistair kind of scratches the back of his head a little bit, kind of like looking away. Nothing compared to the other stuff I've seen.
You see Nibbin kind of like... he kind of leers his head back away from you.
Oh.
He looks at Alistair. You do have that thousand-yard stare like you've seen some things. For such a young man, I wonder how these things happened. He takes a moment. It does not matter, though. Those are private things, I'm sure. The two of you are obviously to be rewarded. And then some for your graciousness and forgiveness for me and my ignorance. I did not tell you that I knew those few things. Those little few details.
You forgot a lot of details. You hid a lot from us.
Okay. I hid a lot from you. I understand that, Daedalus. We can let bygones be bygones, right? Alistair, back me up here.
Alistair turns to Daedalus for a moment. Just raises his hand up like, just chillax a little bit, kind of like hand gesture.
Looks at Daedalus, he goes, see, it's fine, Daedalus. Let me go get your reward. And he kind of floats off again and comes back mere moments later. Here we are. Well, while you were gone, I went ahead and obtained your armor and your garments from the Lion Shield caster. The smith sends the regards. And I went ahead and made some alterations. I went and enchanted them a bit for you. You'll discover that yourself in time. But here are your belongings from the Lion Shield caster. And you see he brings out from this sort of it's a book bag he's got with him, this satchel, right? But he reaches in. And when you reach in, you get a peek in the bag. And you don't see anything in the bag. But when he reaches in, he pulls out your entire outfit that you sent to the Lion Shield caster to be tailored. Ah, your regal attire, my good man. He reaches out and kind of hands it to you while it's neatly folded.
Alistair looks at it for a moment, seeing the complete color change from the obsidian black that he once wore when Daedalus first found him, and sees this midnight blue, beautiful cloak with golden filigree trimming, just like what's on his eye patch, as he smiles a bit. Throws it over his long-sleeved black shirt that he wears, looking like a new man. And he kind of... there's this aura of confidence about him now. There's just this little gesture has had a big impact on him, and he just can't stop smiling.
Daedalus notices this, and you see Daedalus kind of nudges you in the shoulder to turn. And as you turn, he kind of looks at you with the jacket on. He grabs the collar of it and, like, tightens it, you know, brushes it up or whatever, and makes it look, you know, proper and brimmed. He looks at you.
Midnight blue, a good choice.
He looks over at Nibbin.
And my armor.
And then Nibbin goes, oh yes, of course. You look great, Alistair. And he says as he reaches into the bag.
Alistair
chuckles.
And
he pulls out Daedalus's plate mail. Daedalus reaches out, grabs it from Nibbin, paying him no mind. He looks at the plate mail for a moment. He begins to put piece by piece on. Takes him about 2-3 minutes with you standing there. You help him put on a few straps here and there and put on, buckle a thing here or there. But you see the freshly, I would say, freshly forged new plate mail. You see that the silver is basically stainless at this point. The links are flawless in this chain that's beneath the plates of the plate mail. You see the armor itself has been given a little bit of tailoring. You see a sort of green or deep dark green that's almost the same color as Daedalus's eyes. It's like a cloth that you would typically see on like a old Crusader images that you would see. You see this large cloth that runs down the center of his chest, down between his legs, sort of hanging down. And you see it also matches in the back. And this is dark green color with a little bit of golden filigree here and there. And you see Daedalus kind of brandishes this on. He looks at himself down and up.
It fits well. I've never had armor that fits this good.
And you see him roll his shoulders and roll his arms. You see him kind of move his legs, picks them up, kind of stretches them out.
Wow, this is flexible. This is what it's like to have armor that fits you.
Nibbin looks at him.
Yes, it is, fitting. It's not as dashing as Alistair's, but it'll do the job, I suppose. You won't get hurt when you get hit now.
Daedalus looks at him. You see this kind of look at him, like in his eyes of, like, annoyance.
And look. Good. Say it.
And then Nibbin looks at him.
What?
Say, I look nice in this new armor. You complimented Alistair. Compliment me, too.
And then Nibbin looks at him.
You look nice, Daedalus,
Nibbin says very calmly and sort of cringes as he says it. Daedalus looks at him.
Yeah, you're lying to me. Never mind. He looks at Alistair. What do you think, Alistair? Does it look all right?
Alistair strokes his chin for a moment, squints his eyes, kind of checking Daedalus up and down. He locks eyes with him. This eye contact that Alistair's giving him is piercing, as if the words that he's about to speak are striking so true. And he speaks. You look like a knight, my friend.
You see Daedalus kind of, at first he's kind of smirking, like as he asks, like, what do you think, you know, because he obviously knows I look like, you know, I look like I got plate mail on, I look fine. But he's just trying to give Nibbin a hard time, not really making anything of it, so he's just messing around. But as you say this, he kind of, his eyes widen for a second, and the smirk turns to like a shock, but then an affectionate smile. He says, he kind of nods his head.
Well, if I look the part, then maybe one day I will be one. They always say, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. I think I look the part, too.
And then Nibbin sits there.
Yes, what Alistair said. Yes, what Alistair said. He's right.
Daedalus looks at him, and he just kind of groans. And Alistair, Daedalus turns and looks at you.
And what about the rest of our reward, Botfizzle?
Forgive me. This is the part I don't like. He reaches into his pocket, the same satchel, and you see him pull out an even, like, in that sort of proverbial blackened abyss within that satchel, he pulls out a small bag, a little coin purse. He reaches it out. He's looking away. He's got his left hand out. Take it before I change my mind. Please, take it. Do you take it?
Hell yeah.
So you reach out and you grab this coin purse and you very quickly just reach out and snatch it from Nibbin. You open this sort of velvet-colored pouch via the strings that kind of pull apart and you look inside. And just like in the old cartoons, like a proverbial sort of silver light comes out and hits you in the eyes and you're like, you hear the heaven's gates open. Oh! And as you look inside, you see, and you may want to take a note of it, you see in this pouch 25 pieces of platinum. And you see an additional 7 gold, 14 silver, and 21 copper.
Okay.
Daedalus looks at you.
Well, what is it? Are we happy?
Beyond happy. Alistair closes the bag.
Daedalus looks at Botfizzle. He looks at him.
A pleasure doing business with you, Nibbin.
And then Nibbin looks at him.
Yes, a pleasure, Daedalus.
Likewise to you, Alistair, of course. And he nods and smiles genuinely at you.
Alistair gives him a very courteous bow.
He returns the bow. Yes, he bows as well.
If there's anything else I can do for you, gentlemen, I will do it. I am in your debt, truly. I value what you've done for me. Cornelius is a great friend. I've known him, a half a decade now. And he has saved my life on more than one occasion, so I am in your debt, truly. And forgive me for my dubious ways. I cannot change who I am. But I hope that you both can see I am a worthy ally, and I will repay you once more. As we discussed before, I can find a way for the two of you to get into the city of Waterdeep. We will arrange this at a later date, but and when the time comes, I will make this possible. Just give me some time to get Cornelius in a better state, and then maybe we can work something out. How's that sound?
I'd say that's fair. Daedalus, do you agree to these terms?
Daedalus kind of turns his head to the side, looks at Nibin.
I think we can trust Botfizzle from now on. You have a deal, Botfizzle.
Nibin, kind of shocked. You can trust me?
Yes, of course you can trust me. I mean, why wouldn't you? Yes, deal!
And then he goes, see you there. And he just kind of like floats off in his little pillow. You see him float off back behind the counter. Daedalus kind of stands there for a moment, and then he looks at you, and he looks back over, and then you, like a small pause happens, and then you hear from behind the counter, you can leave now. Daedalus kind of chuckles, and he looks at you, let's get the hell out of here.
Alistair nods, waving one more time to Nibin before he leaves the establishment and walks out. Now, Alistair, when he came into town, saw all the people were kind of congregating, and he's trying to see, you know, peek out there first to make sure that there's not a shit ton of people out there still.
Oh, well, you peek your head out and you look out into the town and no, you don't see anybody's out there waiting for you. You see people have gone back to their business and the only thing you see is the rut in the ground that kind of walks in the central pathway, and then you see the broken boards of the stairs from where you were literally pulled through them by Daedalus.
Well, I hope I never have to endure that again. That was terrible.
Daedalus looks at you.
Yeah, imagine being the one pulling the, you know, 500-pound statue behind them.
Well, that takes quite a feat of strength, Daedalus. Tell me, do you have some sort of routine that you follow?
Well, besides, you know, the adventuring thing and, you know, having to defend, you know, fend for myself out in the wilderness. I do, when the downtime is there, indulge in some physical activity, some fitness, as some would say. More so, I practice my technique. I do a lot of shadow work with the blade, trying to work through scenarios in combat that may have happened or may happen, and how I would handle them or handle them better.
Maybe when we get to a nice little place to rest, you can show me a thing or two, finally.
Daedalus nods.
Yes, and it would be good to put this armor through the paces. That sounds good. Come on.
Alistair nods.
We need to go and see what the maesters list still had left on it.
If I remember correctly, we had to go to this place called Nomengard?
Nomengard, yes. I think he marked it on the map.
And Daedalus reaches into his pocket and pulls out the map that the maester gave them. He unscrolls it and looks at it, and you can kind of see a few markings here and there of cities, places, and you see the mark for Nomengard. Daedalus' golden talon finger reaches down, he points.
Yes, there it is, right there, to the east. Well, do you want to head there with haste, or do you perhaps want to take a moment or two to gather yourself?
If you wouldn't mind, I would prefer we just walk. At a normal pace. I could use it. Helps clear the head. I don't want to have to focus too much on sprinting and the like right now.
I'm in agreeance there. My legs probably couldn't go much further. Very well.
And the two of you begin walking out of the further out of Botfizzle's establishment through the town. Every so often, people will look at you and nod and give you a courteous smile. People are beginning to recognize Daedalus and Alistair. They've seen, okay, these guys have been here for a couple days now, 3-4 days. they've left and they've come back. They've helped us on multiple occasions. So now you're seeing the more in-connect townsfolk, specifically the obviously you've got Krieg and you have Nibbin, the Maester. You've got the Smithy and his wife over at the Lion Shield Caster. So there's word going around the town that the two of them are beginning to make an impact. And you see a few people say hello, say good morning, good afternoon, hello, and they ask you how your day is going as you walk by. They even speak to Daedalus in surprise, and Daedalus returns the kindness. And you see Daedalus is kind of impressed that people actually want to talk to him a little bit. And you see him he's got a bit of a smile on his face. And you see he kind of like looks around at the place for a moment, kind of as he's walking down the streets, you see he kind of turns left and turns to the right. And he kind of looks around.
Alistair.
Hmm?
These are good people. But what the hell are they going to do if a dragon comes here?
You see his face gets kind of sad. He was happy, but he gets sad thinking about how ill-prepared these people are for what they saw on the cloud line the other day. Daedalus poses a question to you.
Truly, what would they do? What defenses do they have? They have nothing.
Then, Daedalus, we will protect them.
Daedalus nods. You see him kind of, like, think on that.
You already swore that we would kill the dragon to Elia, so, yes, we will protect the town.
I, actually wanted to talk to you about that. I hope you didn't take offense that I brought you into that, all willy-nilly.
Daedalus looks at him.
I took no offense. Shocked at your willingness to fight a dragon, but I wouldn't say impressed, but almost impressed at the gall you have to think we could stand a chance. We killed a troll, though, and that's a step in the right direction, I suppose.
Yeah, it is a step in the right direction, Daedalus. But you're probably wondering why I have such gall about this. And Alistair kind of like looks off into the distance at the sky as he's walking, kind of looking through the tree line. If someone doesn't stand up to protect these people, then no one will. If people are afraid, they won't take action. Someone needs to take action. And I want to prove that I can be worthy of the title of Lord. I have not earned it, but I want to. Because I want to create a better world. And as he just keeps walking, he doesn't say anything for the rest of the walk. He just kind of solemnly has the 10,000-yard stare the rest of the walk over.
Daedalus nods in agreeance, listening to Alistair's words. He says nothing either. A comfortable silence between the two of them as they continue their journey outside of the town of Findown on their way to the east to Nomengard. As they have begun this walk, hours go by, and eventually the afternoon becomes the evening. Your legs are somewhat sore. You know, you really haven't had to use them today. You know, you were a statue for 8 or 9 hours, so you just kind of, you feel all right. Like, you've been walking for about 2-3 hours, so kind of sore, but not the end of the road. But you are a little tired. You look over at Daedalus, though. He's exhausted. He is winded. He is perspirating. You didn't even know Dragonborn could do that. And he is, you can see him every once in a while, he'll take a big deep breath through his nostrils to sort of lower his heart rate. Daedalus looks over at you.
What? I'm tired.
I can see that. Perhaps maybe we save our training for tomorrow. You seem quite gassed.
Daedalus looks at him.
Are you insinuating that I couldn't fight right now if I needed to?
It's best to save that strength just in case you do need it, Daedalus.
Let us make camp first. Here seems like a good place as any. We'll pull off to the side over here, away from the road.
You pull off to the side path of the King's Road, and as you, the two of you begin to sort of pitch the tent, put the camp together, you've got your tent relatively set up fairly well. Daedalus has his. Would you like to describe your tent, your setup? Because I don't think you've described what your tent setup looks like yet.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Alistair, I don't think, has a tent set up. Let me see.
Take your time to think. If you need to think, say, let's take a moment and think on it, and I'll go smoke a cigarette while you think.
So, I know how this is going to go. So, Alistair doesn't have any pack on him. No explorer's pack.
Okay.
No bedroll. He literally sleeps on the ground and throws an extra set of clothes over him as a blanket.
Daedalus looks at him. What the hell are you doing?
Sleeping. What do you think I'm doing? Well, trying to.
Daedalus looks at him. Fine. I'll pitch a second tent again. And he goes back to pitching another tent. He's got his set up, and you can see Daedalus's tent is very typical, very basic. You see a sort of olive green canvas color that's sort of draped over these large sort of, they're not sticks, I would say thick branches that have been shaved down in certain shapes, you know, to be stakes in the ground. You see a small light coming from inside from a small lantern, a bedroll. Daedalus pulls out he's got an explorer's pack, but he also has a dungeoneer's pack. And from his dungeoneer's pack, you see this sort of brown canvas, like khaki-colored canvas material. He begins pitching another tent.
If you recall, this is the one I put up for you almost a week ago when we left the manor, I think.
You know, I forgot we had that.
Well, that's because it's mine, and we haven't had to use it. And you were basically concussed as well. I mean, I was concussed, but they're mine, so I wouldn't forget.
Daedalus says he's pitching this tent. He looks at Alistair.
You can have this one for now.
And he takes the rest of his belongings from the Dungeoneer's pack and puts it in his Explorer's pack.
But when we get to Waterdeep or back to Vindalin, wherever the hell we go first, you get your own.
Fair enough. I appreciate the kind gesture, Daedalus.
Considering, I mean, we did just get paid a whole lot of money. Speaking of the money.
Yes. He pulls out the satchel, opens it. Half of it is yours.
Daedalus looks inside, and the bright silver light almost blinds him. You see his eyes squint, and he leans his head back. Oh! He peeks back in with one eye, almost like he's sinning, and like he's hiding his gaze from the gods. He looks inside.
By the Nine, I've never seen so much wealth.
And this is only the beginning.
Daedalus kind of wipes some sweat from his brow line.
Very well.
And he takes his half of the coins. You see Daedalus walks over to his tent, and at this point Daedalus has removed his plate armor again, but you see he pulls out his sickle from his bag in the tent. And he looks at you.
Grab your blade.
Alistair raises an eyebrow. My blade?
You wanted to train. You wanted to be taught what skills I have.
Alistair sighs and grabs his rapier. Well, I was trying to have us save our energy in case we needed it, but I guess the thrill of death is what's going to keep us alive if that actually happens.
Daedalus nods. Survival is what matters. Remember that.
And then Daedalus, he waits for you to approach. You get about 10 feet away, and he raises a taloned finger as if to tell you to stop.
Ready yourself.
And he waits for you to get in sort of a ready stance. Describe that for me. How you would hold the blade, how you look.
Okay. So in this moment, Alistair is going to have his left foot forward, his right foot back, perfect base, after Daedalus showed him the proper form of picking things up, you can see that this is translated well to his technique and his base. You see a nice solid base, and as he extends an arm out, the other hand slowly holding the rapier right over his head. Kind of like Obi-Wan Kenobi style. And he turns his free palm up and gestures, "Let's go," to Daedalus.
Daedalus kind of smiles. You see he's almost he's impressed with your golf. Just to say it again, he there's one thing that Alistair is, and Daedalus knows this inside. Not that he's said this out loud yet, but there's one thing he's noticed from Alistair, and it's that Alistair, even if it's foolish, he will stand up for himself if pushed. He will fight if he's got to. And he's not afraid to fight something that's bigger than him. And that's something that Daedalus has come to respect at this point. He nods.
Typical Alistair. Biting off more than you can chew.
And he starts to step forward. As you see Daedalus, he has no real kind of rhythm to his steps. He kind of starts to speed up, then dips left, slows down, then dips right. As he's kind of just seeing how you respond to his movements. He's almost circling around you, moving left to right, watching your footwork as he moves. He's closing in as he does it, though. Ever so slowly, you see his stance kind of lower. He's almost not quite crouched, but he's bent at the knees a fair bit, and you see he's got his sickle almost to the ground as he's dragging it along the dirt beneath your feet and his. And he looks at you.
You have good form, Alistair. But sometimes form needs to be forgotten to save yourself.
And as he does this, he slings up a bunch of dirt from the ground beneath you, and he tries, sort of pocket sands at you with the sickle dirt, and as he pocket sands, you see him come flying through the smoke of this dirt that's been kicked up in front of you, and he shoulders into your body, kind of knocking you back a few feet.
Alistair, just by the sheer force of Daedalus pushing him, and Alistair being on the leaner side of things, is going to be knocked back prone.
As you fall on your butt and you feel the impact of the earth beneath you, you kind of look up. You didn't expect Daedalus to move that fast after that kind of slow walk up. He was just kind of dancing around, watching your movements. You see Daedalus now stands there before you.
You have a good base, Alistair. But remember, never stand still, especially against a bigger foe. Your mobility matters.
And you see as he motions for you to stand back up.
Let's try that again.
Now Daedalus steps back another 5, now 10 feet. You see he starts that same motion on you. He starts circling you, dipping to the left, then moving a little bit faster, dipping to the right, slowing back down, backing up a little bit, moving aggressively forward. And then this time he jumps up, and he rings the sickle up and arcs it down right where you're standing. He is not holding back. He's attempting to attack you. What do you do?
Alistair's going to immediately roll to his left, Elden Ring style, out of the way.
Nice. Daedalus jumps up. You see his body arc with the sickle as he rears back and brings the sickle down. As it crescents down towards you, Alistair, you roll right out of the way, just somersault forward right out of the way. As you roll out of the way of this attack, Daedalus slams the sickle into the earth next to you. His sickle stuck to the ground. You see he pulls it back up. And he looks at you.
That's much better.
And he looks at you. And then he takes a stance this time. And you see Daedalus' stance is very different from yours. You see Daedalus has a bit wider stance. You see his left and right legs are wider than shoulder length apart. He has a bit more bend to his knees. He takes one hand, his right hand, and it's holding the blade to his side. The sickle is not kind of drooped down, it's just at waist level. He doesn't have it up in front of him to sort of protect himself. And his left hand, he keeps out in front of him just a little bit, just kind of open palm in front of him. And he starts kind of just waiting for you. And then he turns that open palm left hand, drops his middle ring and pinky talons, drops his thumb, and then with his pointer talon, looks at you, and you see he curls it as if to say, come get some.
Alistair in this moment is going to start circling him slowly. And you're going to see Alistair's... Well, Daedalus... He's going to try to hide it from Daedalus, actually, as he's trying to stealthily reach into his coat pocket to try to grab something. Let's say that Alistair, to try to hide it, is going to be pulling some feints with his rapier as if he's going to stab Daedalus to try to distract him.
You see Daedalus kind of mimics your movements as you approach. He kind of moves back when you move forward. He moves left when you move right. He moves right when you move left. But as you start to feint a little bit, Daedalus doesn't expect the feints at first. You're training proper technique. You understand that the duel is a battle of the minds as well as skill. You gesture out a few feints to see his response, and very quickly Daedalus snaps his sickle out and whips the rapier away from him. But he's reacting to these feints, not seeing what you're doing with your hands in your pocket.
And Alistair, in this moment, in his inventory, he has in his little pocket a little bag of sand.
Oh my God.
And he's gonna pocket sand him.
Alistair, you reach into your pocket and you kind of let out one final feint as you stab forward. Daedalus knocks the blade of the obsidian rapier away, and as he knocks it away with a flick of his right wrist, as his right wrist moves away from his central vision, and he's looking at you now, taking his eyes away from the blades, he turns to look at you, and as he looks at you, his eyes are coated with sand, and you see Daedalus, and you immediately hear Daedalus, pocket sand, as he rears back, and you see Daedalus kind of has the sickle in front of him. He's kind of swishing left, swishing it right, trying to keep you away from him. Wipes his eyes of the dirt, blinks it away. What do you do?
Alistair, in this moment, is going to just take the tip of his rapier and just, like, poke his shoulder with it. Like, very, like, not obviously trying to pierce the skin, but just, like, poking the armor. Like, thunk!
As you take the rapier and you just... As you see, Daedalus is blinded. He's kind of swinging left, swinging right. And you hear him, where are you, Alistair? You, doghouse, where are you? And you just give him a run on the shoulder with the rapier, and you see Daedalus stiffens for a moment, and then he drops his shoulders, and he chuckles, and you hear Daedalus, ah. Very good, Alistair, very good. You learn quickly. And Daedalus opens his eyes, and you can see he can see now. He turns and looks at you and sees where you're standing. That's where you were. And he looks at him for a moment. You understand. Excuse me. You understand that sometimes things such as form, technique, honor don't have a place in a battle for survival. What you just did, using your pocket sand, much like I use the dirt of the earth. That's resourceful, it's cunning, and it's something that will allow you to take down much bigger, stronger foes, like just now. Use your brain, Alistair. It is your greatest weapon.
Alistair,
you see Daedalus puts the stickle away.
Alistair puts his obsidian rapier back at his side. Well, I do have a good teacher, Daedalus. Thank you. I think this was a good first lesson. But I'm not gonna lie, and you see his legs are shaking. I don't think I can stand anymore. I don't know how you can right now.
Daedalus kind of looks at you, and you see him look down at his legs. And then you see the right knee kind of like shake a little bit, and then he stiffens it.
I'm fine. Perfectly fine.
And then the other one starts to shake, and he puts his hand down to steady it.
All right, I'm a little exhausted.
And then he looks at you.
I think, as you said, that is enough for the first lesson. Next time, it will be different, but you will be ready. Get some rest, Alistair. We will need it for tomorrow when we make our way further to Nomengard.
Alistair nods. kind of stretches, takes off his new studded leather armor. He puts it on a hanger right back onto like a tree branch that's within, you know, his reach. And Alistair is not going to rest tonight. He's going to have a restless sleep. He cannot sleep. But what he does in the interim to try to fill the void of him being unable to sleep is he's going to do crunches for as long as he can. He's just going to start training.
Very well. There will be consequences, I will say. There will be consequences. Exhaustion. Things of that nature. They will come into play when we start to get to doing any roles and we get to Nomengard. You understand?
I do understand.
Very well. Alistair, you choose to not rest in the evening. Instead, you take some time to do your own personal fitness work. You start doing crunches, different kinds of stretches as well whenever your body feels too sore to continue. Give yourself some time and try to keep going. You go to the point of exhaustion and you go to the point of no more movement. You go to failure. At this point, you can't even lift your abdomen to get back up. Your muscles are in complete muscle failure. You can feel that lactic acid build up in your abdomen region, and it is tight. You can almost feel like if you try to sit up, you are going to cramp immediately. As the night continues and you continue to sort of nurse your way through the evening's workout, night begins to turn to day, but as the night goes on, you get this feeling at the back of your neck. A cold wind echoes through the air, and you can feel this breeze and it hits you. And it's not like the icy wind of a dragon, though. You feel this sort of ephemeral weight to this breeze, almost like a fog has rolled in around you, and it coalesces near the side of your face, and you hear a few whispers, indistinguishable their language, but you just hear this, and you can't quite make out the words, but they don't sound kind. These are whispers that you've heard before. In the infernal tongue. You thought these whispers gone once you left the manor, but they've come back to you. And you remember these whispers were always the herald of an arrival of someone or something. Very, very important to you. By choice or by necessity, who knows? But you know this being. You await its arrival. Hours go by. Eventually, the feeling of tension, it never really goes away, but you allow yourself to kind of ease for a moment. And you realize this was a warning. You didn't escape. Just because you've left the manor does not mean you've left your past and the devils behind. They're coming. And they found you. As day comes, eventually you hear the stirring of Daedalus in the tent over. You hear him stretch and then yawn. Much better. And you see Daedalus steps out from his tent. You see him shake out the evening's rest. Daedalus has already begun changing into his traveling gear from his nightly wear. When Daedalus turns and he sees you, just kind of laying motionless, looking up at the ceiling of your tent. The drapes of it opened already, have never really been shut. You went in here and just continued working all night. Daedalus turns and looks at you, and he sees you just in a sort of like catatonic, looking up at the ceiling state. He walks over, not urgency, but a bit of a fast walk over.
Alistair.
And he kind of knocks on the wood of your tent. You hear it.
Alistair.
You immediately hear. Right? You immediately hear the ching of his rapier, which is in its sheath, that is now just at Daedalus' neck, and he's looking up. Oh my god. Oh my god. I'm sorry, Daedalus. He grabs the sword and puts it back in the sheath. I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me.
You see, as you pull out the dagger, or not the dagger, excuse me, the rapier, and its blade reaches close to Daedalus' neck. Daedalus does not react. He doesn't flinch, he just stares at you. He looks down at the blade at his neck. As you lower it, Daedalus very calmly, but you can hear a sense of urgency in his voice.
Alistair, what is wrong? What's going on with you?
In this moment, Alistair is definitely doing the 1,000-yard stare at the ground. After about 10, 15 seconds of silence, he slowly looks up at Daedalus. Do you remember when you found me at Darkheart Manor? And I thought you were a devil.
Daedalus nods.
It's because I would hear whispering. Constant whispering. I feel like I'm afraid. I just thought you were someone else. I'm sorry, Daedalus.
It's all right, Alistair. I live.
And Daedalus kind of smiles.
Just remember when the whispering happens. If you're going to stab someone or something, don't stab the golden dragonborn. And on a more serious note,
Daedalus kind of approaches you and places a hand on your shoulder.
Whatever is going on with you, whatever whispering this is, whatever is causing it, after we deal with the dragon, we will deal with it. Whatever is wrong, whatever is going on with you is linked to your family. I just can't shake this feeling. But we will make it right.
Alistair just nods in agreeance.
Take your time, but when you're ready, we must go to Nomengard. I will pack the tents. Take your time, Alistair. Gather yourself.
Daedalus stands. He nods as he walks away, and you can hear him begin to pack the tents as you sit and reflect on what you have experienced. Is there anything you wish to add, Alistair, before we wrap up the session?
Alistair is just gonna kind of be there in silence for a moment before taking down his tent, handing it back to Daedalus, and he's going to, with great muscular atrophy occurring after a traumatic experience, Alistair feels at a low point. He doesn't even want to talk right now. He just wants to just keep going, keep pushing forward.
Very well. As you kind of sit for a few moments to gather yourself, the 1,000-yard stare not leaving you. Your body seems to enter this almost like autopilot state, much how you were for years back at the manor. You just stand up and ready your tent and haphazardly, not with much effort, kind of force it into its bag, the tent. As you and Daedalus pack up your belongings, you finish first and you have already begun walking towards Nomengard. Daedalus is maybe 15 seconds behind you. He says nothing. He can tell that the distance between the two of you is on purpose. You walk ahead. And that is where we will end tonight's session, with you walking towards Nomengard, Daedalus a few steps behind, you in a state of shock and Daedalus in a state of bewilderment as to what is wrong and what is going on with you. When we return next week, we will begin our next quest. We will enter the gnomish village town of Nomengard, where our two heroes will sort of do some sleuthing and have some interesting banter and meet a very interesting and different culture in Nomengard and these people. But that's it for today. I do want to say thank you all for listening. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate all the listens. We have had some pretty recognizable growth, and I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening every episode. It really means a lot to us. I can't say enough how many times I've sat down and looked at some numbers, or Zach's told me and informed me about the numbers, and I've just been very shocked and very humbled, and I'm very happy to say thank you guys so much for listening. I know a lot of it's friends and family and things like that right now, but it means a lot to us. I can't say enough how much it means to us to share this story and this experience with y'all, and I hope that you guys are all enjoying it as much as us. And once again, I do want to say, make sure to reach out to us on our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook. Make sure to give us your compliments, criticisms, what you'd like to see next, where you'd like to see the story go, and predictions. Where do you think the story's going to go? And just what do you think of the characters so far? Every comment matters, and we want to read them all. We want to share this with you. Give us your thoughts and your opinions. We'd love to hear them. But thank you so much. Thank you for the time that you spend with us. I can't say that enough. Zach, is there anything you wish to add before we call it for night?
No, that's all I got.
All right. Thank you, everybody. And once again, that was another episode of Forged D20's Thrones. Y'all have a great night. Bye-bye. Oh, wait, before I say bye-bye, I'm so sorry. Zach, you may have to edit this in. I do want to say special shout-out to our patrons, Melanie Draws and Melanie Cuchalone. I love Mel. You love Mela. I love Mela, but platonically, and you love Mel platonically. We love you guys. You guys are awesome. We appreciate your patronage and the dedication and support the two of you give us so that we can kind of pursue our passions and our dreams. We love you both so very much. So thank you guys.
Love you guys. Take it easy.
Take it easy.